Welcome to Campus Conversation. I'm Julie Wirth. This week's podcast features Andy Borst, Director of Admissions for the University of Illinois. We talked before the latest round of complaints in Springfield about the U of I's international enrollment and in-state students getting better offers out of state. But Borst talked about why students are being lured away by Iowa and other schools, why admissions directors don't think a plan for a common application for all Illinois universities will help, and he also gave us some interesting numbers on next fall's freshman class. We'll have more after this.
Hey, Jim Rosso, News Gazette Media, reminding you that at newsgazette.com we have a ton of podcasts every week, from Brian Barnhart's Penny for Your Thoughts to Scott Beatty's News Hour to Elizabeth Hess, Dave Gentry talking with movers and shakers on their morning show. Head to newsgazette.com and search for podcasts.
Hi, this is Julie Wirth. My guest for Campus Conversation today is Andy Borst, Director of Admissions at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Andy, thanks for stopping by today.
Thanks for having me, Julie.
No problem. So we just passed the second notification date for students applying to U of I. What do your application numbers look like this year?
Sure. We had another year of record applications. We're feeling good about where we stood after early action and then again after regular decision. All of our admissions decisions are out. Now we're just waiting on students to tell us where they're going to be next fall.
You get close to 40,000 applications?
Yeah, just under 40,000. We're 39,000 and change right now.
How many of those are the early versus later?
About 60% of them come in early action.
Okay. And how does that compare to previous years? It's been on the rise?
So we're about 1% over last year, and there's a general trend up, going up over time. It's more and more applications every year.
I think I remember Kevin Pitts, one of the vice provosts, right?
Yes.
Talking about 46% growth in 7 years. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Why is that?
Honestly, it's a part of recruitment, and it's also part of students are filling out more applications. So when parents and families who went to college were applying to schools, they were may or be applying to two or three colleges. And on average, high school students now are applying from anywhere from 7 to 12 colleges.
Wow, that can get expensive, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How do you decide how many students to admit?
Right.
You mentioned earlier you have a target freshman class of around 7,500 students. Is
mm-hmm.
that right?
Yes.
So do you use past experience or some kind of algorithm to predict how many?
There's a lot of different factors that go into it. So we're somewhat unique in that we're admitting to the major for most of our programs at Illinois. And so we're looking for students that are applying to directly into the major and how much capacity and what's the academic quality of the students that are applying to those academic programs. And then we can't always find a seat for every student in every program, so we try and encourage students to put down a second major, and then if we can't fit them into their first major, then we look to find a spot to admit them into their second major. But sometimes the capacity in some of our high-demand programs aren't enough, or the student isn't competitive for the programs that they're applying to.
So you know that not everybody's going to come who's
right.
admitted, right?
Right?
So do you have a over-under, you know, projection
right.
for it? If we want 7,500, you know, given all these factors, we need to admit at least 10,000, 20,000?
Right. So last year we enrolled 7,518 new freshmen, and we have a target of about that number for this year. However, it's a little bit more nuanced than that, in that the graduating seniors for this year came in as a cohort of 6,900, so a much smaller cohort. And we're trying to maintain the overall size of the undergraduate class after this year. So while our overall target is 7,500, if we come in under that, we're still going to have a record number of undergraduate and enrolled students come this fall. So we're somewhat hedging our bets to see how many students are going to come in. Students really won't start accepting their offers of admission probably into early April and into May.
The deadline's May 1st,
May 1st,
right?
Yeah.
Do you want to say how many you've admitted, or is that a number you...
I don't know it off the top of my head. I'm okay. Sorry, but it is about 1% more than last year.
Okay. I seem to remember it being in the 20,000 range,
yes.
which
yep.
surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know you admitted that many.
Yeah, so it's about a 60% accept rate, and that varies widely depending on the program that we're talking about.
Right, because it is admitted by college, as
right.
you mentioned, right? There's that thing called yield.
Yep.
I think last year about 40% of Illinois residents who were admitted decided to come to the U of I, about 20% of out-of-state students. Talk about that number. It's been on the decline, I think, and maybe you could explain why that is.
Sure. So our resident yield rate has been declining for quite some time now, and when I have conversations with people about how are you doing or what emphasis do you put on admitting resident students, and our first priority is to recruit, admit, and enroll residents of the state. We actually admit about 2,000 more students from the state now than we did 10 years ago, even though the actual numbers and percent numbers are different. So we are looking to admit more Illinois residents, but this is a factor of the out-migration that's happening within the state. And a lot of the out-migration conversations start with what's happening in the state, but it's actually a product of what's happening outside of the state. So throughout the Midwest, public higher education is seeing less and less funding come from the state. And so directors of admissions in surrounding states have looked to the population center in the Midwest, that being primarily Illinois and Chicagoland area. So there's quite a few more recruiters that live and recruit in the Chicagoland area. Over the last 10 years, that number, the number of recruiters has doubled and the number of institutions represented has tripled. So it's much greater competition for a declining population, a smaller population. So as supply goes up, more institutions being available to students, it's a great for the students, but it's not so great from a public policy standpoint of wanting to have more students stay in state. Then you throw in 2 years of no budget, seeing decline shift, and then that's when we're seeing the equilibrium price that students are wanting to pay, Economics 101, go down. And so students are getting some really great scholarship offers from out-of-state students. So we talk to them a lot about the value of an education in the state of Illinois.
Right. So they're applying to schools like Iowa, Indiana, Wisconsin, and those schools, because they don't have a population center like Chicago,
right,
are throwing money at them, right, to come to their schools.
Right, right.
I was interested in the number of recruiters in Chicago. Do you know, what is the number?
It's about 125, and those people are representing various institutions all throughout the United States and some international schools. So they live in Chicago, they live in St. Louis area, and they're going and visiting high schools. They're talking to students about educational options outside of the state.
This is true in most urban centers, probably?
Not to this degree. So many of the urban centers have regional staff, but not the number of staff, and certainly not the growth of number staff in those areas.
That's interesting. So, and Illinois has always had an out-migration, right, just because,
yes,
of being a population,
right,
center, but, mm-hmm, it's just gotten worse in recent years, second only to New Jersey now, right?
Right. So we've been second in net out-migration for quite some time, and it's just ramped up in the last 2 years.
So Senator Chapin Rose has, mm-hmm, put in some proposals to both restructure higher education, and one of those was to have some sort of Common App for Illinois, mm-hmm, universities. Talk a little bit about the rationale behind that and,
sure,
and what you as an admissions director might think of that.
Sure. So I think it's great that Chapin Rose is promoting conversations about the future of higher education throughout the state. I think it's great that he's trying to get people around the table to talk about it. One of the things that we talked to Senator Rose as well as the Higher Education Committee about the Common Application for the state is that we can certainly put it in place. However, it's putting an administrative task towards something that's not necessarily the problem. If you were to ask an admissions director throughout the state of Illinois, we all have more applications. So across the last 10 years, applications to state universities are up approximately 50%. So it's not getting students to apply that's the hurdle. It's really getting them to commit once we've admitted them. And we also talked about that if we admit a student to a college that they didn't apply to, the chances of them enrolling in that college are less than 1%. So while we can certainly put a common application in place, I needed everybody to understand that the desired outcome would not necessarily yield what we're hoping for. It's trying to, the core issue comes down to the finances for a student in their choice of college. We're seeing that more and more in a student's decision of where to enroll.
That being the number one of the number one factors.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying a student who might apply to U of I doesn't get in, but somebody says, but you could go to ISU or Eastern or, you know, SIU, and they might say, you know, that wasn't my intent. I wanted,
right,
to go to U of I, so it,
right,
might not necessarily do anything for those schools.
That's what we saw in the California system.
Is there another any other reason that U of I wouldn't be interested in doing a Common App? I mean, do schools have different? Would a Common Application work for what you're looking for in a student?
So we have a Common Application that's in place called the Coalition Application. So we have our own application, but then we also have the Coalition Application, which is it's a Common Application for highly selective institutions, and students can, they're still selecting to send their information to us. So they're saying, I want to apply to the University of Illinois, and they're submitting their information to us. I think that some of the other concerns are relatively administrative that we could probably overcome, such as, you know, what questions get asked, what questions don't get asked, what information do you use, what information don't you use. I don't have any problem with the administrative task of implementing a coalition or a common application for the state. I just wanted to be clear that it's not going to have the desired effect of keeping more students in the state.
Could it work if the schools work together more closely? You know, kind of like the transfer from community college to the U of I. Mm-hmm. You know, you work closely with Parkland and other schools on mm-hmm. these pathways programs. Mm-hmm. You know, if there was a, if students knew going in, well, I'm going to apply to U of I, but if I don't, U of I tells me, hey, there's another business program here you might be interested in. You know, if there was more of a recruitment effort in that regard.
I would say that we're probably having those honest conversations with the students right now, as well as working with the high school counselors at the particular school to say who is likely going to get in at Illinois and who's not, and what might be a better fit for that institution. Because in many ways, we're talking about what are the benefits of U of I education, but we're also talking about what's the best fit for those students. And if we see a student that's not likely to be admitted, we're talking to them about other options.
You mentioned the cost. I think I've heard many times that you survey students who don't come here,
yes.
right, to U of I, and that cost is the biggest reason the decision not to come, both mm-hmm. either overall cost or financial aid. I know the university has tried to address this with tuition freezes and by increasing financial aid. Do you find that that's improving at all in those surveys? Has it made an impact yet, or is it a long-term issue?
I think it is a long-term issue because if it is a long-term issue in the sense that it's still relative cost. So what's the price that they would pay to come to us versus a price that they would pay to maybe go out of state? The Illinois Board of Higher Education recently did a study to see if students really are paying a lower cost to go out of state. And the conclusion of that study was that it's still cheaper for students to stay in state on average. The problem is it's who's going out of state. The student that is going out of state is not necessarily the average student. The students that we're losing in market share are above average students that are getting the larger merit scholarships. And so I think that we are taking the right approach in committing most of our financial aid dollars toward need-based aid to ensure access as a land-grant institution for as many students as possible. But because we've gone from a low-cost, low-aid model to a high-cost, high-aid model, we either need the state to help us with meeting the gap that many middle-income families are facing, and it's not really an or, and needing greater support from donors to give more merit-based scholarships to students.
Is that one of the goals of the fundraising campaign?
Yes, is to raise scholarships for prospective students, yes.
I know in just looking at this as a parent, you know, I think both Indiana and Iowa, I know Iowa does, there's sort of an automatic scholarship you get as an out-of-state student if mm-hmm. you just have a certain GPA and mm-hmm. a high school rank. You know, it's just, you can right. sort of look at their website and know what you're going to get ahead mm-hmm. of time, and which tends to bring it down to in-state costs or close mm-hmm. to it.
Yep.
So it is an issue.
We hear
parents.
That a lot from prospective students, and there's some examples of the counterfactual in that argument where an institution was giving really great scholarships to Illinois residents and then for various different reasons stopped doing that and then has seen a big decline in students coming from Illinois to that institution. So it is a good way to get students out of state, to get them to go to those other institutions, but it means sustaining those scholarship efforts. Whereas our strategy is much more built around making sure that we're offering affordable education for in-state students and then promoting the academic quality of our programs to out-of-state and international students.
So we hear a lot about the percentage of in-state students. You're either at 73% for undergrads overall or for the freshman class, or is it about the same?
It's probably about the same, but it's 73% of the freshman class.
And I know years ago it was closer to 90%, maybe mm-hmm. even above that. I'm going back to the dark ages when I was in school. What would you like it to be?
So the strategic enrollment plan after this year is just to maintain the size of the freshman class as is, as well as the percent. And so a lot of our strategies, whether it be recruiting international, recruiting for non-residents, or recruiting for residents, is just to kind of play what-if scenario. So what if our pipeline from China became smaller? What if more students, what if the rate of out-migration increased on its current trajectory? How would we make up that difference to maintain the size of the class?
People might find it surprising that 73% is kind of high, isn't it, among Big Ten
yes,
schools?
Yes, so we're in the top of the Big Ten in terms of percent. Most of our competitors are closer to 50% when they look at out-of-state.
Okay.
And much of that 50% is made up of Illinois residents.
Much of their 50%.
Much of their 50%, yes.
You actually have, looking at the rest of the class, you have more international students than domestic out of state. Is mm-hmm. that right? 15% versus 10%. Is that kind of your target, or could that change?
I think that we're not necessarily looking to adjust that target from the admission standpoint. We're more so guarding against any changes in market demand from those populations. So if fewer Chinese students started to come to the U of I, where would we make up that gap? Would it come from India? Would it come from California? Would it come from New York? And in reality, our population center is going to be dependent on multiple different components so that we're not relying on just one population and changes that may happen to that group.
You're expecting the Chinese enrollment to drop off, right, because they're building more universities, or is that the general thought?
I think long term we may start to see diminishing numbers coming from China, but to improve the overall undergraduate education for everybody, diversity is one of the ways that we look to do that. And so having multiple different countries represented and not just one dominant country within our international population is the best way to do that.
So that's a goal, even if you don't see
right.
those numbers drop. Oh, okay. That, and this is important, you mentioned, for diversity, but also because it's a big share of your tuition income mm-hmm. now, right?
Yes.
Growing portion. Mm-hmm. If I'm a parent and I have a student, let's just say I have a high school senior,
okay.
which I do. And, you know, we've heard from all the schools they've applied to now, and we're starting to get those financial aid offers. At Illinois, if you find that, you know, you're for parents who find that, you know, they're just not getting the numbers they see, is it worthwhile for them to call and say, you know, this isn't going to work for us? Does it, at any school, does that ever
right.
do any good, or is it kind of hard and fast?
So at Illinois, I would discourage that conversation because I know that we give the best offer that we can out front. However, I do know that there are some schools that are facing the reality of renegotiating packages mm-hmm. That maybe don't put their best foot forward. So I hear stories from prospective students' families that talk about, I called school X and then they adjusted my offer. And it just really doesn't happen at Illinois. So while we discourage students to do that from that practice, I wouldn't say that that would be off the table for every school.
It's a daunting process, this
it
whole
yeah.
application. Do you have any general advice for people starting to look at this process for next year? You know, your initial deadline isn't until November 1st, right?
Right.
But, you know, in terms of preparation.
I would say the first step would be to talk to your high school counselor. Applying to Illinois can be somewhat complicated in terms of the differences across programs, especially for prospective students that are coming from local areas. I would say starting with just coming to campus. So the kids that are close to here may have already made up their minds about what they think Illinois is all about, but it looks very different growing up from around here as opposed to being a student here. So getting that real student experience. And it's okay that not all of the local students may want to stay close to mom and dad. Some of those students are saying, I want to go further away. But it's not until they're on that campus visit, seeing what the daily life is like outside of that high school bubble, where they're able to see if this might be the right fit for them.
That's a good point, because kids do grow up, you know, with this looming presence of Illinois, and mm-hmm. they might think, oh, I've been there, done that.
Yes.
Let's talk about diversity for just a minute,
sure.
if we have time. So tell us about, is it 20% of this year's freshman class was from underrepresented groups? Is that right?
The yes. fall? Yeah, from underrepresented minority students as well as first-generation students. Not necessarily that they're both of those things, but there's 20% for both groups.
So a fifth of the class is one or the other or both.
Right, right.
Okay. And is that looking the same for next fall, or you don't
know? We're actually a little bit ahead. One of the positive signs that we saw from our diversity of the students that we accepted, and we don't make decisions and admissions decisions from this context, but something that we're excited about for this fall is that most of our growth in applications and accepts came from women. And then within the accept pool that for our College of Engineering, we had a significant growth. We're up about 30% in accepts for African American in the College of Engineering. So up in residence, up in women.
What do you attribute that to?
Probably heavy emphasis on recruitment for STEM fields for women and students of color.
By the college or by the university as a whole?
Both. Or? Both. I think that's a concerted effort by outreach efforts. I think it's efforts for recruitment as well.
I think in recent years you'd seen some growth in that, but it was mostly among Hispanic students, mm-hmm. correct, as opposed mm-hmm. to African American. So is this could
so while that's
that
notable, there are two populations that are decreasing, and that is within the state of Illinois, white students and African-American students. And there are really three populations that are growing exponentially, and that's Latino students, that's Asian students, and that's multiracial students. And so we do see growth in our Hispanic students, which is what makes the increase in African-Americans in engineering so notable, is that it's kind of working against the tide.
So you're saying the population trends are
going down. So anytime we have that kind of growth, we get excited about it.
Okay. All right. Any other trends you'd like to point out today?
We'll wait and see what May 1st brings, and then see what our class looks like in the fall.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, Andy, for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Julie.
Okay. Take care.